Y'all see that? It says, here's repentance. Turn from God and you have sin, Satan, and death. Turn to God and you have salvation, God, and life. Well, let's go to the next slide. So again, this is a topic I haven't shared in about 4 years, and I wanted to cover it again because we are coming to the time of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah, the day of the blowing of the trumpets. It's a time right now where we're seeking the Lord, searching after Him, going through a time of introspection, looking deep within each and every one of our lives to see what it is that we need to change, where we need to be transformed, where we need God to do a new work in our lives. And as I shared a few weeks ago about, it's like it's a mending of the soul. There's areas that we need to be mended and get right before God. But I thought before we did that, I'm going to share this little funny story, okay? It has nothing to do with repentance, by the way. But I read this week, and maybe this is help us to learn not to complain. Who's a complainer in here? Okay. Oh, boy. Okay, so I said a number of hands went up. Now, who's lying? Raise your hand. All the rest. We all are complainers. We all complain. And I'm a terrible complainer. So anyway, there once was a woman who woke up one morning and she looked in the mirror and saw that she only had 3 hairs on her head. Oy vey, huh? Great, she said. I think I'll braid my hair today. And so she did, and she had a wonderful day. The next day she woke up, looked in the mirror, and saw that she only had 2 hairs on her head. She said, I guess I'll part my hair down the middle. So she did, and she had a wonderful day. The next day she woke up, she looked in the mirror and saw that she only had 1 hair left on her head. Wow, she said, today I get to wear my hair in a ponytail. So she did, and she had a wonderful, wonderful day. Now the next day, she woke up and she looked in the mirror and saw that there wasn't a single hair on her head. Thank God, she exclaimed. I was running out of things to do with my hair. Now, this is an attitude we all should have, right? When I saw that, I said, I like that. Teaches us not to complain and be thankful and grateful for what we have. But today we're talking about teshuvah, repentance, and turning to God, like we saw in the little stick figure guy a moment ago. It means having a change of heart also. So related to that, I do have another little story. Do you want to hear it or not? Okay. So a minister tells the story about a wife who came into his office. And this wife was full of hatred toward her husband. I can't understand why, of course. I do not only want to get rid of him, I want to get even with him. Before I divorce him, I want to hurt him as much as he has hurt me. Wow, bitter, huh? So the minister suggested an ingenious plan. Why don't you go home and act as if you really love your husband? Tell him how much he means to you. Praise him for every decent trait. Go out of your way to be kind and considerate and generous as possible. Spare no efforts to please him. Make him believe you love him. Then, after you've convinced him of your undying love and that you cannot live without him, drop the bomb. Tell him you want a divorce. Now that will really hurt him. So with revenge in her eyes, she smiled and exclaimed, "Beautiful, beautiful boy! Will he ever be devastated?" And she did it with enthusiasm. For 2 months, she showed him love and she showed him kindness. She listened and she served him and she reinforced him. But when she didn't return to the office, the minister called her. "So, are you ready now to go through with the divorce?" "Divorce," she said, "never. I discovered that I really do love him." Now, this woman's actions changed her feelings. Whether it's a tough relationship, a long-time fear, or a task that seems too big for us to approach or accomplish, sometimes we need to act in faith in order to see it conquered for the kingdom of God. Amen? And that's kind of what we're talking about when we talk about teshuvah, that repentance, returning to God, that change of heart. Now, in Jewish tradition, the 10-day period between Rosh Hashanah, which you know, actually, I'm getting to the point where I don't even like the name of Rosh Hashanah because it's not even the biblical name. It's really Yom Teruah. It's the day of the blowing of the trumpets. But we'll find out more. So between, let's say, the day of the blowing of the trumpets, Yom Teruah, and Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, we have a time period that's called Yamin Noarim. That is the days of awe. And Jewish tradition teaches and believes that during this 10-day period, divine judgment is rendered to determine whether a person is going to continue to live or die in the coming year. And it's believed that God reviews the books of judgment on Yom Teruah, or Rosh Hashanah, on the first of the month of Tishri, and then he hands out final judgment on Yom Kippur, the 10th of Tishri, 10 days later. So as a result, Rosh Hashanah is also known as Yom HaDin, or the Day of Judgment. And these 10 days are believed to be the last chance to repent before God's judgment is finalized for the coming year. Now, according to Jewish tradition, and these are traditions, a lot of these things, but there's a lot of biblical things I'll be mentioning as well. According to Jewish tradition, there's actually 3 books that are opened on Rosh Hashanah. And one of them is not through the eyes of a Gentile, okay? That's a plug, Irene. One is the book of the life for the wicked. The second is the book of the life for the righteous. And third, the book of the life for the in-between. And each year, tradition says God judges our deeds and he inscribes the name of everybody in one of these books. For the in-between, those not written in either of those other two books, their fate is deferred and hangs in balance until the Day of Atonement. And if they sincerely repent during these 10 days between the two feasts, really repent, God will give them life for another year. Now, in the book of Joel, who has their Bibles with them, by the way? Who brought their Bibles with them? Either electronically or paperly or tabletly, in one form or another. It says in the book of Joel, chapter 2, starting verse 12. Joel 2, verse 12 and 13. "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all of your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments." Now, it's tradition. To understand that, it was tradition when you were in mourning or weeping that you would tear your garments, rend your garments, tear your garments to show that you're in mourning. But the Lord is saying here, don't tear your garments. Let something take place in your heart. Let your heart be broken. Return to the Lord, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. So reflecting that tradition, the common greeting during the days of awe is L'shana Tova Tikatevu, which means, may your name be inscribed in, or it's implied, in the book of life for a good year. Now I know I want my name inscribed in the book of life. Anyone else here? And it's actually a biblical thing. Joe, you don't want to? Oh, you do? Okay. All right. You can help him hold his hand up like Moses. They held up Moses' hand. There you go. You know, this judgment book tradition, although it might be really embellished a lot, it finds its origin in the scriptures. Now, Melech David, King David, wrote these words in Psalm 69, verse 28. It says in Psalm 69, 28, may they be blotted out of the book of life and not be listed with the righteous. So obviously there must be a book of life if King David, who is the ancestor of Messiah Yeshua, mentions as a book of life, there must be one. But look also, Moses, the great prophet Moses, pleaded in Exodus chapter 32, starting at verse 32 through 33. Exodus 32, 32, 33. But now, please forgive their sin. But if not, in other words, if you're not going to forgive their sin, then blot me out of the book you have written. And the Lord replied to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. Now this is the Lord himself speaking. And he says, out of my book. So in other words, you know, does the Lord actually have a big book that he writes our names in? Well, he mentions my book. And there's other places where it mentions the Lamb's book of life. Is there a literal book? God's word talks about a book. I believe God's word. Is your name written in that book? That's the most important thing. Is your name written in that book? And if your name's not written in that book, then you better stay here afterward and talk to me. And we'll make sure that you leave today with your name written in that book. Now, the rabbis of old believed that the national repentance of Israel was a prerequisite for the coming of the Messiah. In Isaiah 59, verse 20, it says, Isaiah 59, 20, the Redeemer, speaking of Messiah, will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sin, declares the Lord. Now, as believers in the Messiah, Yeshua, we realize that the repentance of Israel is a prerequisite for the coming of the Messiah, for his return. We know that. Listen what it says in Matthew 23. If you have your scriptures, turn to Matthew 23, starting at verse 37. Matthew 23, 37. Are you all there? It says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets, and stone those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again. In other words, I will not return until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Baruch Haba Hashem Adonai. Until Israel cries out, Baruch Haba Hashem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Until Israel does that, we will not see the return of the Messiah. Yeshua just said this. You will not see me again until you say this. So we as the people of God need to be praying for the repentance of Israel, the nation, and the people as well. In fact, Israel's repentance is one of the chief purposes of the day of the Lord. That day, which is not going to be a fun day, let me tell you, the day of the Lord. You know, we sing about the day of the Lord is here. Right, Bob? Maybe I was off a little bit there, obviously. But it's not going to be a joyous time. It's going to be a terrible time. You don't want to be here for the day of the Lord. You don't. But the king of Israel will not return to Israel until they're ready to receive him. The rabbis of old correctly understood the prophets when they declared in the writings of our people, were Israel to practice repentance even for one day, they would be redeemed and the branch of David, that is the Messiah, would come. Tragically, we see that Israel is not repentant, both as a nation and as a people, along with the other nations as well. And we'll see many who will suffer the fury of God's wrath before they're willing to say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." This is also in Psalm 118, verse 26, as well as Matthew 23. The rabbis of old again understood the significance of repentance. They said it's one of the things that was created before the world itself. It reaches to the very throne of glory. It prolongs a man's life and brings on redemption. And God urges Israel to repent and not be ashamed to do so. And the same for us. He wants us to repent and not be ashamed to. Because he says a son is not ashamed to return to the father who loves him. Who remembers the story of the prodigal son? This is a perfect example of this. He was not too ashamed. This is in Luke chapter 15. He was not too ashamed to go back to his father in repentance. He had gone. The son had said, "Father, give me my inheritance. I want it now." Normally you don't get your inheritance till your father would pass away. And then you get inheritance. "I want it now. I want to enjoy life." So he gets his inheritance and he goes out and he squanders it on fast living and prostitutes and drinking and everything you can imagine until all of his money is gone. And then he has to hire himself out working with pigs, which would have been an abomination to the Jewish people if this is referring in that story. And he goes back, "Father, Father, I have sinned. I don't deserve to be called your son, but let me be as one of your servants. Let me work the fields. Let me work with the animals. Just let me eat what they eat." But his father said, "No, no, my son. Go cook the fatted calf. You know, let's slaughter it. Let's cook it. Put rings on his hand and fine clothes on him, because my son was lost, but now he is found. He was dead, but now he's alive." The son was willing to repent and go to his father. And we as people have to be the same. We should not ever be too ashamed. Sometimes we've done some terrible things. I've done some terrible things. And I think many of us in this room have done some terrible things. And sometimes we think, you know, God can never forgive me for these things. God could never accept me back. God could never allow me into his kingdom. You don't know the things I've done. I've done some terrible things. But if we are willing to repent and come to our Father as the story of the prodigal son and say, Father, I have sinned. Lord God in heaven, I have sinned before heaven and earth. Forgive me for my sins, O God. Cleanse me of my righteousness. Create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit. Cast me not from your presence, nor take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and renew a right spirit within me. If we're willing to act in repentance, God is willing to receive us with open arms. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It says in Zechariah 1:3, return to me, declares the Lord God Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Jeremiah 15:19 says, if you repent, I will restore you. This is God's promises. God will restore us. God will receive us if we repent. But you know, God will not pardon us unconditionally, but he waits for us to repent. When we repent, we have to experience genuine remorse for the wrong that we have committed and be willing to make restitution. And repentance is really a life and death principle within the scriptures. Listen what it says in Ezekiel 18. If you have your scriptures, turn with me to Ezekiel 18, starting at verse 20. Ezekiel 18:20. It says, Ezekiel 18:20, the soul who sins is the one who will die. The son will not share the guilt of the father, nor will the father share the guilt of the son. But let me just pause there for a minute, because I also believe in generational sin. I believe that, this is me, okay? This is me speaking. I believe in generational sin, that things can be passed down from the parents to the children. I've seen it with people who had drug habits, parents, and went to the children, and alcoholism, and it ended up with the children, sexual sins that ended up with the children as well. And I've seen many instances in all my years, over 30-some years in ministry, I've seen it. But I know also that God can break the chain. He can break the chain. Doesn't matter what your parents did. Doesn't matter what your grandparents did. Doesn't matter. The chain can be broken and you can be set free in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And it says that the righteousness of the righteous man will be credited to him, and the wickedness of the wicked will be credited or charged against them. But if the wicked man turns away from all the sins he has committed and keeps all my decrees and does what is just and right, he will surely live and he will not die. So God will look really at us, what you have done and how you have lived. And what has taken place with your parents, grandparents, whatever is broken by the blood of Yeshua. Isn't it? You know what's cool? You can have a chain that's thick links. I mean, a powerful chain. And you can put one drop of the blood of Messiah on it and the chain breaks. That's power. There's power in that blood that was shed of Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you for that, Father. You know, turning implies that sin is not impossible to remove, and that sin is not an unremovable stain. But sin is a straying away from the right path. When we make an effort to turn from sin, the power of God will help us to redirect our life toward him and change our eternal destiny. Thank you, Lord, that our destiny can be changed. It's amazing. God can change your destiny. beautiful. Now that word repentance in Hebrew, as you see up here, is teshuvah. And it really comes from the root word shuv. Shuv means to return. There used to be a lamb song. I don't know if it was Shuvi Yisrael. I don't know if you used to go Shuvi, Shuvi Yisrael, Shuvi, Shuvi Yisrael, Shuvi. Return, O Israel. Whoever heard that song before? One person, two person? Oh, we used to do that. Actually, one time, not here. And, huh? Okay. Anyway, teshuva, from that root word shuv, to return, it literally means to return. That is to return to God. So repentance is a change of mind and your will arising from a sorrow for your sin, and it leads to transformation in your life. Listen to what it says in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 40. It says, "Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord." So if we examine our ways, that's what we're doing in this month of Elul. We're examining our ways, we're testing them, our motives, our hearts. And then it says here, and then once you have done that, obviously you acknowledge you're straying and you return to the Lord. In 2 Corinthians, in the Brit Chadashah, it says in chapter 7, verse 10, 2 Corinthians 7:10, that godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. So if we really are showing sorrow, it leads us to repent before God. It means we're really sorry. "Lord, I'm so sorry for the things I've done, but it's all about you, Lord. It's all about you." Reminds me of that song. And if we have that sorrow, it brings repentance. And that repentance leads to a true salvation experience. And we have no regret. No regret. Repentance is turning from sin. Faith is turning to God. Teshuvah is turning from sin and returning to God. In Teshuvah, we turn from the evil and we turn to the good, and it requires that we turn away from the sin and we totally forsake it. Forsake the sin. Hate the sin. Have you ever had a sin in your life that tormented you and you hated that sin? "I hate that sin. I hate that sin, but I keep doing it, but I hate that sin. I hate it. I hate it." Turn from that and forsake it. Not always so easy to do. Only can happen with the help of God. You cannot do it on your own. You cannot be delivered from drugs on your own. You cannot be delivered from alcohol on your own. You cannot be delivered from pornography on your own. You cannot be delivered from all the things that weigh you down: lying, cheating, stealing. Those things, it takes the hand of God to do those things. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18 and verse 30, it says, "Repent, turn away from all your offenses. Then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourself of all the offenses you have committed." And I love this last part. "And get a new heart and a new spirit." Now you can look at it a couple ways. If you rid yourself of all these offenses you've committed, you could just say that you automatically get a new heart and a new spirit. Or you can look at it as like imperative. Rid yourself of these offenses you committed and go ahead and get a new heart. Get a new spirit. I kind of like either way. But I think God tells us sometimes, "Okay, people, You need to get a new heart already. Your heart is bad. Your heart is full of calluses. Your heart is full of scabs. Your heart needs to be cleansed. You need to get a new heart. You need to get a new heart. And maybe the Lord is telling someone here that you need to get a new heart. Because we've all gone through things that, boy, left our heart a mess. We have. And sometimes, boy, you got so many scabs and sores in your heart that it takes a lot to get rid of it. You got to scrape it away and file it away. It really takes some work sometimes to reveal that heart of flesh. Again, the rabbi spoke of this repentance and turning away from sin. The 3rd century Babylonian teacher, Rabbi Judah, defined a truly repentant person as one who twice more encountered the object which caused his original sin and he kept away from it. What is he saying? Okay, you had a problem with this issue. You've been confronted with it one time. You were able to resist. You were confronted a second time. You were able to resist. That shows that you're truly repentant. I think it actually takes more than twice myself. I think it takes a whole bunch of times. And one thing that I have found out from my personal life is that when there's a sin in your life that you're trying to be freed from and delivered from, Satan is going to do his very best to confront you with that exact sin or put you in the place or that opportunity right in front of you and flaunt it in front of you, whatever it is, because he wants to see you fail. It's going to happen. It's going to happen every single time. Likewise, the great Rabbi Maimonides maintained that he who has achieved perfect repentance, who upon finding himself in the position of repeating his sin, is able to refrain from doing so. But again, I think it's a whole lot more than just one time being confronted with it. I think you'll be confronted with it many times. And even when you're freed from it and you're delivered from it, Satan will every now and then try to put it right at your face, that it stares right at you, because he wants to see you fall again. But stand firm in your faith. And let me tell you what, you'll see the victory that you need in your life to overcome it each time. So again, that teshuva requires you to turn toward God by putting complete trust in him and in the Messiah, Yeshua. We have to trust him with all of our heart. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. It's another song we used to sing, Bob. I love this song, but I wish you could do this. It says, come, let us return to the Lord. Goes on to say, he will heal us and bind up our wounds. He will revive us and he will restore us. I don't know. I have to show you that song. But it goes, come and let us return to the Lord. Come and let us return to the Lord. Come and let us return to the Lord. He will heal and bind all our wounds. And after 3 days, he will revive us. And after 3 days, he will revive us. And after 3 days, he will revive us. And on the 3rd day, he will raise us up. Oh, Israel, the time to favor you has come. Oh, Israel, your appointed hour has begun. Arise and shine, for his light has come. Arise. Well, hey, I'm surprised that I remember that much of it. I haven't sang it in many, many years. It's a good song, actually. You got the music to it, and actually, you have the song sheet. Anyway. Okay. Let's continue. Hosea 6:1, that was from. That's what you had. In the book of Psalm, chapter 2, Psalm 2, verse 12, it says, Blessed are all who put their trust in him. We need to put our trust in him. Now, Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 19 through 20. Acts 3, 19 through 20, to me is the greatest definition of teshuva that you see up here in all of God's word. Acts 3, 19 through 20. Tell me that you all found Acts 3, 19 through 20. You all got it? Okay. It says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Yeshua. If you look at this scripture, repent and turn to God. Repent then and turn to God is exactly the definition of teshuvah. But the purpose for that is so that your sins may be wiped out, so that refreshing may come for you from the Lord, so that he may send or allow the Messiah to return. This goes along with all of the prophets, this one scripture. Peter is speaking here. He's putting all the words from the prophets and the belief of the rabbis and all around about what teshuva is and repentance is, with understanding of the Moedim, the feast of the Lord. Repent and turn to God. Your sins will be wiped out. You'll be refreshed, and God will then send the Messiah. That's the hope of all Israel, who has been appointed for you, even Yeshua. As I mentioned earlier, repentance and returning to God is a prerequisite for the return of the Messiah. It's going to hasten the return of the Messiah as we get our lives in order and seek after and search for him with every bit of our heart. Now, Rabbi Elitzar, you all know him, right? Do you know him, Linda? Oh, I thought you saw one like that. Okay. Rabbi Elitzar, one of Israel's ancient rabbis, declared this. And I've mentioned this in once another teaching before as well. Repent one day before your death. Okay. Now, that's pretty important. Repent one day before your death. So his astonished disciples asked, Rabbi, does one know on what day he's going to die? And the rabbi replied, the more reason that you repent today. Right? Repent today because you don't know on what day that you will die. So, what's important here is that repentance is urgent. Urgent. And teshuvah is complete and powerful only when we see the enormity of our sin and we have experienced the saving grace, the love, and compassion that God manifested through Messiah Yeshua. Teshuvah, I believe, is really a gift of God. Because in his loving mercy, he has given us a revelation concerning sin and salvation in his word. He has given us the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to impress the truth within us, to awaken our consciences, and lead us to repentance. And he has given us the power and the authority to overcome the flesh and all the work of the enemy. Thank you, Lord, for that. You know, Romans, the book of Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 speaks of the books of life for the righteous and the wicked. Romans 2, 5 through 11. But maybe it's in a little sneaky way. Okay? Romans 2, 5 through 11 speaks of the books of life of the righteous for the wicked and the wicked. Listen what it says. But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life, the book of life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. So you kind of have to read in between, but this is speaking about the righteous and the wicked and the end result of both lives. That one will end up with honor, glory, and immortality, and the other one will end up with wrath and anger. They'll be divided into two camps, two books, the sheep and the goat. On my right, the sheep, on the left, the goats. Who here is a sheep? Who's a goat? Anybody? So you're all sheep? Okay. I only saw half of you raise your hand. Okay. You don't know if you're a sheep or a goat? Okay. You got to get out your mirror and take a look. See what you look. We are all sheep. We have to be sheep to be a follower of Yeshua. But that doesn't mean that we have to go around, bah, and we have to be weak, and we have to be shy and all of that. Being sheep means that we follow the voice of our master. Our master speaks, we hear his voice, and we follow him. So who's a follower of Yeshua in here? I guess you're all sheep then, right? Don't be a goat. Don't be a goat. You know, Mark 1:15, and I'm ending here for today. Mark 1:15 says that the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent. Repent. Repent and believe the good news. And I want to leave you with that thought. The time has come. The night is nearly over. The day is close at hand, as it says in Romans. The kingdom of God is near. Yeshua spoke that wherever he went. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. So we are to repent and believe that message, that good news. And if we do so, I assure you with all my heart and with joy and fullness that your names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm looking forward to it. I am looking forward to being in the presence of the Lord. Now, I tell you what, it's been a struggle. I think we've all gone through a big struggle. But the goal of our faith is going to be that we will be in the presence of the Lord when we're absent from this body. And it's going to be worth it all just to see his face. But that's another song. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, in the name of Yeshua. Lord, thank you for everything. Thank you for everything, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that even before creation, I believe that you had a plan of redemption because you knew man. You knew what you created, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, in your mercy and your grace that you sent from the heavens your Son Yeshua to walk upon this earth to teach us and show us through his life and then his death and burial and then his resurrection and then his ascension to you. You taught us.